Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Mark Uzansky and Dave Friedman from Tone Talk. And I'm slightly sick, so you might be able to tell in my voice, or I'll be coughing and hacking away throughout the episode. What's up, Dave? How are you?
What's happening?
This show is brought to you by Sweetwater today. We are sponsored by Sweetwater. We have an affiliate link very below in our description. And if you guys go to Sweetwater soon, make sure there's a microphone bundle giveaway. They've got year-end clearance stuff, 0% interest for up to 48 months, all kinds of great stuff at Sweetwater. So we wanted to show off what they've got going on right now, right off the bat from the show. Dave, you have anything to add?
The year-end clearance, it'd be interesting to see what they're clearing out,
Yeah, let's
see. There's always there's always some good deals to be had in there,
Absolutely.
UAD bundles, and
that's a nice kit, Rowan TD-27 kit, actually.
What else we got? KRK Rocket, those good budget speakers that sound good.
I can switch to guitar gear, actually. I can just go to guitars. Let's see what we got here.
Guitar gear. Let's see. Student guitars. We got some Kramer stuff that looks cool. Yeah. Jesus, cheap. Wait a minute. What? That is it? Really that cheap?
For what, a $379 Kramer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, Kramer Classic Electric Pacer. Wow.
And it's pretty cheap. Oh, a Friedman.
They're clearing demo savings. That's why. It's a good deal, though.
Is that a good deal?
Yeah. Small box combo? Yeah, absolutely.
So they got all kinds of stuff going on. Clearance deals before the end of the year. Get a Spark.
Get Knox.
Yeah. That's a good deal. $300 off. Tonex, I guess that comes with what? Oh, it comes with $50 of software. So we got all kinds of stuff at Sweetwater.
111 pages of clearance. you'll be looking forever.
And remember, they have the guitar gallery. You see what you're buying. You got a great salesperson who will help you out, answer all your questions, all of that stuff. I mean, personally, they're just one of the best places to go, the best place to go to buy your gear. And if you have a problem with it, they'll take it back and they'll help you, which is exactly what they did for me. I had a slight checking in a guitar that I bought from them. They're like, do you want us to take the guitar back or do you want us to take some money off the guitar? And I was like, no, I'll keep the guitar. I'll just take some money off of it. Just awesome stuff like that, So they'll work with you and better than a lot of places, I think, for sure. So make sure you guys check out Sweetwater. Again, link below. And that just gives a little, a little kickback to the show. The next sponsor of the show, end of the year, we want to show is fixpedalboards.com.
Absolutely.
Check them
over. Yeah, all these like pedal board shelves and stuff with even little mounting things on the side. Angled shelf that's bridgeable, stuff for Temple Audio boards. Another shelf, pedal bridge. Pedal risers, these junk boxes are cool. They're interface boxes that are TRS interface boxes, passive interface boxes, but they're really well done. Hmm. And, they make some pedal power supply brackets and things like that. And the rack shelf, that was my design.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but look at all the... Yeah, that was my design. But on the pedal risers that you had up there, you can look at all the sizes and... different heights, different sizes for different pedals. They give you an example of what pedal it's sort of made for. And those are awesome. You screw them down to your board and they're solid like a rock. It's like perfect for lifting up a pedal.
Cool idea?
And you often do.
A cool idea, I think, for Tim on this page would be to show like what an actual pedal board would look like with these risers on it.
Yeah, there's a new website coming supposedly, so we'll see. He had a little setback though with
his lady passing away.
Yeah.
So there'll be more coming from him for sure. I mean, Tim Fix Pedal Boards is Robert F. Chapman Metalworks, who do all chassis for Friedman and Synergy and Soldano and all the brands at Boutique, and then other brands too, Metropolis, and
wow,
and then they do stuff that's out of the MI world, of course, because they couldn't survive just on MI work. Yeah, no, it's a 50,000 square foot building.
Wow.
So it's a big company. So
wow, good for you. Well, thank you, Tim, for all your support and the company this year. We appreciate your support. And next would be
for our European friends.
It would be Toman. Come on, guys.
Toman's the sweet water of Europe, so to speak.
We have a link below. If you click the link below, it'll bring you to an affiliate link where you can buy anything from Toman. Same price, but it just gives a little gift back to us for supporting them.
And if there's something that you like at Toman, and there's some things that you can't get in the U.S., they'll ship here also for nothing, pretty much.
Yeah.
Very and it's fast.
Competitive. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, check out Toman. We thank them for supporting our channel as well. So
awesome.
Cool. Cool. And last but not least, guys, I know that most people are not subscribed to the channel who are watching.
So please subscribe.
Yeah. Come on. Click the bell, subscribe to the channel. You'll get notifications. It'll be a lot easier for you to find out when we go live. And I do put up, pictures in the community and stuff like that, little ads, and say when we're going to be going live also. So you'll have a better heads up of what's going to happen with the channel. So please press subscribe. Do it right now. All right. Okay.
All right. Got that out of the way.
We're done. So, again,
what's up, thanks, guys?
Everybody happy, it's happy holidays, and it's going to be a new year soon. I'm glad Adam Nolly was, by the way, Adam Nolly from Get Good Drums and Periphery. And he was going to be scheduled for today. Unfortunately, had a family situation that needed to come first. So we hope Adam and his family are well. And when he's ready to reschedule, hopefully we'll get him back sometime in January or early, Q1. So looking forward to that with Adam. So we figured, let's just do a punish Dave with questions. You're still ranting for the holidays, it says.
Hmm?
You're still ranting for the holidays.
It says. Am I?
Yeah, your name.
Oh, I didn't pay attention. I'm not necessarily ranting, but hey.
What the hell?
Why not? I'll probably rant at some point.
Okay.
I'd have to sign out to change it, I think.
Yeah, I think you do. Don't worry about it. Let's see.
Oh, maybe. First,
Spartan Pride. Looking back now, many months later, was the Matchbox 20 rig as big of a cluster fuck as you thought it was at the time?
Absolutely. It was a fucking disaster. It just wasn't done properly to begin with. So, and then then you had to find all the problems instead of doing it from scratch once. And that's like, it never ended with that one. It was like, you get it all good. Okay. We're all good. Here we go. And click on something else. And it's like, oh, well, that's fucked too. Okay, great. All right, why is this fucked? Okay. And but eventually we got it almost as good as if I did it new, but not quite. But yeah.
And I don't remember the backstory on this. This was done by somebody else?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna really
throwing names, but yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I had to fix it. So
I see. Cool. Well, hopefully it's working well for him. Dan Pfeiffer, how are you, man? You're always supporting our channel. We appreciate it.
Dan?
Happy New Year, Tone Talkers. Thanks for a great 2023 and looking forward to some great shows in 2024. Yep, we're working on them. Dave and I were just talking guests, and we got a lot of people lined up for the new year. So, Pal Guitars, a super sticker. Thank you. We appreciate it. I think you said, let's talk about the elephant in the room, the Soldano X88IR. Any info? I mean, I don't have any additional info.
Well, it's a preamp.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, from the pictures, you saw the front and back of it.
Looks good.
That were posted. That will tell you most everything about it. Three-channel Soldano preamp. The clean channel has been changed from the original because no one really cared that much for the original. So it's a better, more Fender-esque sort of thing. And then essentially the other channels are very similar to the Synergy Soldano module. The newer one that has a crunch mode and the standard SLO. Yeah, the SLO channel is the same as, you know, original, as it should be. There's a little tight switch on it, though. You can make it a little tighter than the original. And I think they call it tight, or they might call it fat. So I think they call it fat. I'm not looking at the picture. The fat mode is, like the original. And then the other, you know, without it on, it's tighter. And either channel can be either channel. So you can have two crunch channels if you want. You can have two lead channels if you want. Your choice.
And it's MIDI.
It's MIDI switching. It's got IR stereo, F stereo effects loop, IR loader, with XLR outs, I think. And it has two speaker emulated outs too, to feed a power amp or something. That's what the master volume on the front's for.
Yeah, that's what, if I were going to get it, that's how I would run it.
Yeah, and so it's killer.
It's a great idea. Does that lead you to think, this seems interesting. If this goes over well, maybe I'll do a rack preamp.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
I think they're going to sell a lot of them, personally.
Yeah, I think so too, and that, you know, it might be a future thing that I might do.
That'd be cool to see Rack Gear come back. I know Mike Torn would love that.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to see, you know, processors come back necessarily though. Then again, you can use, you know, your Axe FX's and Helix's as your processor too.
Right. True.
I wish someone would do a processor though, just something with a few key features. You know, I wish someone would redo the original Rocktron IntelliVerb or something. You know, had an analog drive path and, you know, a mixer section. It was very useful. You know, it, something simple but something useful. You know,
well. That's all we know about the X88IR. Hopefully it'll, when is it? Do you know when it's slated to come out?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know anything else about it. So I just, the basic things.
So we had a comment about getting Andy Brower on the show.
Might be a possibility in the future.
Dan says, doubt Andy will be on. He's kind of gotten a little controversial in the last few years.
Yeah. one could say that.
We'll have to check that out. But if not, we, you know, there's other possibilities. Let's see. What else we got going on? Oh, hey, Mark and Dave, any word on Joe Holmes coming on? Did we ever say that we were going to have him on?
I can't remember if I sent an email to him or not. I'm going to try to get him on.
Okay, let me add him to the list. I don't have him on there either. We were just going over.
It would be great, and he's been working on the album. He's been doing a lot of little, you know, broadcasts and stuff. So,
Okay.
I think it'd be great.
Stephen Douglas, Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year.
L. Scott Music. I'm going to go through some names because our fans deserve it. Our viewers. I hate saying fans. I always feel weird saying that. L. Scott Music. Thank you, man. Thanks for watching. Ben Coombs, thanks for being a awesome friend and you know, moderator to the show. You show up. You're a great guy. Really appreciate it. Mario.
Hey, guy. Hey, man. How are you?
What's going on, Mario? Mario helps us with our promos, you know, the graphics and stuff, and he's fantastic, and I don't know what he does. He just drops everything like a rock and gets right to when we ask him to do something, and he sends it back so quick. So thanks, Mario. Let's see.
Michael Torin. Hey, Michael.
Right here he is. What's up, Mike? I wonder, are you still on vacation? You still out skiing and stuff? He was out with his family. Krish Patel. Hey, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. How does the synergy Dirty Shirley work if it's supposed to be based on an 800 pre into a JTM powered amp type thing?
I mean, it's not an 800 pre. I mean, you could see resemblances in signal path to an 800, but it's not an 800 pre. So it's the preamp of the Dirty Shirley. That's what that is. Does it rely on the power amp to get the sound? No.
No, not at all.
Not that much. A little bit, but not that much. And it does a great job of it.
Okay. Let's see. Quentin James. What's going on, Quentin? Zachary Keith. I'm thinking of getting something that can do a deluxe reverb clean and a 5E3 style drive. Is it safe to say the Tone King Imperial is the best option?
That might be cool. Yes. Tone King Imperial is an awesome amp. I would say, yeah, that would sort of do it. It's kind of a cross between those things.
Sure. The other option that comes to mind would be, I know Third Power Amps has something. I don't know the specific model, but doesn't she have like a kind of Fender and then like
a
tweed kind of thing in one of her amps?
Maybe. I'm not exactly sure. I do know the Imperial though. And what you're asking is
definitely
sort of that.
Yeah. Just as another alternative, if you want to check out Third Power Amps, I think they may have something similar, but
for sure.
Cause we like Delana.
Absolutely.
Let's see. Oh, my son has a band that he was wearing a shirt and I didn't know the name of the, I'm going to have to text him right now. And I said, I need to talk to Dave and see if we know this band and we can get the guitar player on. I have no idea what the name of the band is. So I'm going to ask him. What's the name of that band you like?
All right. That might narrow it down, right?
Yeah. Well, on your shirt. How about that? I think it's Citizen something. Citizen Soldier. Have you ever heard of them?
No.
Some rock band.
Huh.
So... And he was wearing this shirt, which surprised the hell out of me. I'm like, what is Citizen Soldier? He's like, oh, it's a rock band. I'm like, really? So me trying to be the cool dad, I was like, well, maybe I can try to get the guitar player on our show. So anyway, let's see.
I don't know anything about him, but now I'll look him up.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to look them up too. Jimmy James. I absolutely love these Punish Dave shows. Sorry, Dave. I think you make the best sounding gear out there.
Thank you.
No need to apologize.
You don't need to apologize. I'm doing it to myself.
Dave, what's up with your Voxy offering?
It's coming. Hang on. Coming. Plexi's coming first.
You know, you put my name on one of those, right?
Your name's always on whatever you want.
Yeah, I thank you. I definitely want one. Oh, my Mark, your t-shirt looks great. Oh, thanks. I picked it up in London, actually. My first time there. Oh, there's my wife. Hey, April. Hope you're feeling better. She's the one who gave it to me.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. Rock on for the new year. Thanks, babe. Okay, we've got a super chat here. Rare to catch this live, so throwing it into the tip jar to thank you guys for all you do. Have a great 2024. Oh, thanks, T-Top.
Awesome.
We appreciate it. Let me see. Oh, we got Gonzalo. Where is that? He said question next. Oh, I see. Gonzalo Cordovez. Hey there, guys. Friedman Plexi, everything on 10, master volume at 10 o'clock, still loud. Even with those power tubes not cooking, it's an effects loop. Is the effects loop useless? Happy New Year's to everyone.
Yes. Well, I mean, like, if you ran it clean, but, I mean, it would work, but if you're not running it clean, then it's useless. It's like putting, like someone put it really good to me once. It's like, say you have an amp and you have an effects loop and you put a, I don't know, a Boss Overdrive after your delay in the effects loop. Would it sound good? No.
Yeah.
Because you're distorting after the effects loop.
Mm-hmm. And basically when you're putting your master volume super high like that, well, everything on 10 and putting it, well, actually, no, his master volume is at 10. That's still pretty, that's pretty cooking the power tubes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I'm going to say, because you're pushing the power tubes. Now it's going to get distorted.
Don't do that. If you want to do that, use a power station, get a power station, put the effect in that, and you got your distorted amp feeding your effect.
So what do guys like Jake do when he just didn't have anything in the loop? When he was pushing
a lot of those guys in the old days didn't have anything in any loops,
but even more modern stuff, like when Jake was using your amp,
he wasn't using anything,
nothing in the loop.
No, well, he did have something, a little something, but it didn't work very well.
Okay, so yeah, I was curious. Hey, best YouTube channel ever. Thanks, man.
Thanks,
we appreciate it. Let's see. Dave, do you work on classic 50s? Maybe just send you the guts out of the combo cab, cutting out on occasion.
I'd probably rather not. A cool amp. Could be just dirty. You know what I would do? Clean all the jacks. Clean the effects loop jacks. Put a plug in and out of it a few times. Clean all the jacks in the amp, and then clean all the tube sockets on the amp. Chances are it's something like that. Okay. Dirty contacts. That's why it was cutting out. Mr. Black here says, I know the mystery of Ed's cabs with no Tolex. Okay. I might do.
There's a mystery?
There's a mystery? What is it? You've said this now.
Mr. Black. All right. Well, don't hold us in suspense.
Okay, well, we just brought it out because he said it again, too.
Okay. Well, tell us what it is. Frank Picha says the super chat's not working for him. They prompt you to acknowledge your age and policy, and then it's pages of legalized with no clear means to acknowledge? Really?
I have no idea.
I'm sorry, but I see your question here, and it's funny you ask, because Dave and I were just talking. We are going to reach out to Reinhold.
We're going to try.
And see if Reinhold will come on as a guest. So we'll let you know. Dave, are you drinking anything today?
Water.
So
10:30 in the morning.
Yeah. I'm drinking water. I'm trying to recoup from a cold.
Not to mention, I kind of don't want any liquor.
By the way, I will tell you, so, you know, we had our rant show. Here's some advice. Don't do a rant show and drink a third of a bottle of whiskey and then like 5 days later, go get your blood taken and see what effect that had on your liver. Cause my enzymes on my liver are like,
whew. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have a slightly fatty liver, and I've had it looked at before.
Mm-hmm.
And then just recently I drank, I don't drink a lot, right?
Yeah.
And then I got this test and it was like much higher than it's been even in the past.
Uh-huh.
And I did a little research on it and I was like, yeah, direct correlation to alcohol.
So that's interesting.
Yeah. So I was like, you guys might not see me drinking much on the show anymore if it continues with that, because I got to be careful. Unfortunately. But I'll substitute with other things. So, but yes, we'll talk about Reinhold one of these days. Mark, what made you sell the GEL 100? I didn't sell a GEL 100. I've got the 20 right over here.
Yeah, you never had 100, did you?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
No. And the only 100 amp that I have from you is the BE 100, and I still have that. So yeah. The only amp that I sold of Dave's was the JJ Jr. I think, right? That's the only one I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you had to run 22. Oh, no, wait. Didn't I make it into a
JJ? Yeah, you transferred. Yeah. Dave, what exactly is a laid down transformer and why is it preferred?
There's no particular reason why it's preferred. It's still the same damn. Well, it's not exactly the same transformer, but it lay down transformer, just instead of standing upright on the chassis, it lays down. So part of the transformer windings and guts is on the inside of the amp. There's no particular reason why it's preferred. The lay down Marshalls, the 100 watt Marshalls, did have a slightly different voltage on the early ones, like on the early Plexis that had that. But there were several versions of transformers. Like, for instance, like the Ed version of the transformer has a slightly lower voltage than the next series of transformers, which were an upright transformer, and the voltage went up like 10 volts. Hmm. It's not like the end of the world. It's the same transformer.
Okay.
Doesn't really matter.
Dave H. Dave, could you do an amp with two speakers, one clean and one overdrive, as a single amp to get clarity to the distortion?
My experience is, unless we're talking bass, doing clean guitar and an overdriven amp never really worked for me. Doesn't really blend very well. I mean, not clean and overdrive, you know, if that's what you're saying. Could you do something that's sort of, I mean, could you? Sure, I guess you could, but it's a stereo amp at that point, or two power sections. Starts to get big, starts to get heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not going to happen.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, let's hear about the vintage Friedman that's coming out. It's a pleasure.
It's a sonic copy of my 50-watt Plexi with a couple bells and whistles that are extra. How's that for now? Yeah, it's switchable bright caps on either the bass channel or not. The channels are always tied. If you don't want to use the bass channel, you turn it at zero and it's the same. So it doesn't have separate inputs for each of those channels. There's a high and low input. Has a certain kind of master on it just for convenience. Probably still really best if you crank it into like a power station or something. But not to say that the master isn't good. It's similar to how the SL68 master is. And built in Variac. So it has a switch on it
three-way power switch. So off and high voltage and lower voltage.
Sounds awesome.
And it's modern construction, done in a really neat, cool way. So beefy. And Pete Thorne and I have listened to it in depth to my original. And in the last state we got it to, we thought it sounded better. So that's when we quit. Huh. How's that?
In terms of gain on tap, is it like vintage kind of spec, or does it have like a little extra?
I mean, like vintage spec is plenty if the amp is healthy.
Right. Okay.
And the right spec. So it does the, you know, VH thing really well. It does other sounds really well.
Beautiful.
And literally we'll have some in-depth videos and stuff that will explain in depth different ways you can use it and different sounds you can get out of it with the bright switches and things, because we need to do that. I'm also going to kind of maybe limit the amount of videos done to only the people that get it. You know, because, you know, if you're not a player, if you're not a demoer that's used to playing through such an amp, you could easily make something sound bad.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know.
I've seen it done before.
I've seen it done many times. So, you know, who will represent it will, you know, show it in its proper light and record it properly.
That's smart.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. It's cool. Super cool.
Sounds awesome. Sounds like Spartan Pride had something to do with that rig. Amazing thing about that Matchbox 20 rig. It sounded good. I was dragged to their show. I was dragged to their show last summer, which was loud, but the guitar sounded really good.
Imagine that. Real amp sounding good. Shocking.
And a good rig.
And this same statement has never been said about a modeling rig.
For some reason, when I first read it, I thought he dragged it to their show.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I was reading it too fast. F. Maraldo, thank you so much. Hey, Dave, thanks for troubleshooting the ground loop in my rack. Found it was a bad jack. Can you give a recommendation on a fat articulate bridge pickup and a Les Paul Axis Floyd Rose? Has a bare knuckle black dog now.
Fat articulate. Do you want it hotter? A Fueyu from Motor City is a cool pickup.
I didn't know what that was. A Fueyu. Okay.
Fueyu is a pickup from Motor City. That's the pickup essentially Jared Cantrell uses in his GNLs.
Okay.
Great sounding pickup. Fat and articulate. You know, I tend to like stringier pickups, so I'm going to be a bad person to recommend things. I love my Rewind Creme Brulee pickup I have in my Strat.
That's fat and articulate.
It's really articulate. It's a really great pickup. Creme Brulee. Mine is wax potted. I got it a certain way that I wanted it. So it was the standard Creme Brulee, but wax potted, because I'm not going to do non-wax potted, not for high gain and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The only other choice that I would mention at, you know, in the hotter range would be the RTM.
Yeah.
I think it's a fat articulate pickup. It's a little bright. Maybe it can be a little bright, but it's definitely,
it's interesting. Bright. It's so interesting that it's bright, because a JB is not bright.
Hmm.
I don't find a JB bright at all ever.
No.
In fact, it's kind of dark.
Niche. Yeah.
And kind of too fat in some respects. But
it's based on a JB, but there's something.
I know it's based on a JB and it's on Leco tube magnet too, which is generally softer and not as bright, but that's interesting.
I don't know. Maybe I have it in my Cali.
Yeah.
So, but a lot of, you know, it's a brighter sounding guitar too. So, okay. Well, good luck with that. Let us know what you end up getting.
For sure.
Yeah, but definitely check out Rewind Electric if you want super high-end pickups.
You're going to pay money, but it sounds really good.
Yeah, fantastic pickups. Speaking of James at Rewind, James, I promise beginning of the year, I will reach out to you because we are close to 28,000 subscribers, and I will do a giveaway at 30,000. We will do a giveaway, a pickup giveaway, an incredible pickup giveaway that James made basically a vintage spec pickup using all vintage wire and bobbins and the whole thing. And he said it's like a value over $1,500, $1,700 pickup that he would give away to our audience because he loves our show. So we'll figure some contest. Maybe it'll be like a sharing contest if you tag me on Instagram, something along those lines, something that I can track. But we're going to do that. So anyway.
Cool.
That'll be in 2024. Yes, hit the like, folks. Thank you.
Rocking 911 says, "Hey Dave, what do you have for a new guy getting his first amp?" Well, I mean, our Runt series amps would be probably the lowest cost thing, the most entry level thing we have that's tube, that is. Or maybe, you know, if you don't necessarily need an amp, maybe an IRX, you know, that's even cheaper. So, but yeah, if you want an amp, maybe a Runt.
Any more info on NAMM coming up?
We're doing it. We're exhibiting. That's what I got for you.
That's it.
Lauren. We're going, we're exhibiting. I'll be there and I'll probably get sick after. So awesome. I'm not shaking anyone's hands though.
I would doing
fist bump, elbow bump, something, but no hands. Sorry.
And bring Purell in your pocket.
Yeah, I've done that every year. It never stopped anything, to really? Be honest. Ever.
I have to say, I the times I went to NAMM, I didn't get sick. But
the Purell never did anything for me. So you know.
Let's see. Lionel Hernandez, what boost pedal do you recommend for Marshall's Comets that can retain cleanup when bringing your volume down on your guitar? Some boosts get muddy. That's true.
Our Buxom boost is awesome, man. You can tighten it right up. Won't get muddy. That works well. You can also kind of tone shape it however you want it to. Other than that, there's a boost that recently came out from Vemaram. I think Pete Thorne did a video, and I don't remember what the pedal is called, but take a look for a Vemaram pedal recently from Pete Thorne, and that sounds pretty ripping into that kind of thing.
They make some amazing pedals, Vemaram.
Yeah, they make good stuff. Absolutely.
You can't find them around,
only certain places have them.
Are they Japanese based? Is that what it is? Okay.
Made in Japan.
Interesting. Cheers, guys. Convicted rocker.
what were you convicted of?
good rocking. That's these convicted rocking hard. Cheers, guys. Have a 5150 EL34 50 watt. Started having issues with the effects loop hum. Using a Morley hum eliminator, have to wiggle the cables to get it to work most of the time. Will a power conditioner solve this?
No, it's not anything with the power conditioner. I mean, what are you plugging into the loop? You might want to try cleaning the jacks of the loop. That would be the first thing. And making sure that you actually have cables that are good. And then whatever you're plugging in, clean the jacks of that also, because, you know, stuff gets crusty and stuff gets weird. And but I'd almost have to know more of the whole setup, because you could have a ground loop. You could have all sorts of things. So, I can't see much going wrong with the loop itself. So it's in line all the time. So if it doesn't do it when you unplug the cables, then it's something external.
Okay. Looking at a BE Mini for the size, and I'm just starting out, can I run it with an 8-inch speaker?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. It'll sound a little small.
You can pretty much run it with anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to have all of these people on the show. Robin Ford, Eric Johnson, Larry Carlton. I don't know, Key Marcello. But thanks for the
question. Out of those, I'd really like to have Eric Johnson. I could probably make that happen. Maybe. Think so. Yes, I think so.
I'm putting.
I know just the person. I know just the person to contact.
Okay. I'm putting it on the list. Oh, and did you ever hear anything back from Justin Hawkins?
No, but I know he's been crazy busy touring, and his own show, and then he's doing his show live in England. That's a tour, also. So
he's busy,
a little bit busy. I was thinking about emailing him soon and saying, hey, maybe down in the future we can schedule this on the books. He said he'd love to do it. And I believe him. I just think he hasn't had any air.
Okay. Sounds good. Sorry guys, I'm chewing on a
cough drop.
Yeah. So I don't cough in your ear. Drew's JD's bag of fun. Thanks for the super chat. Mark, you going to the Vi Sat show in March? I haven't gotten tickets, but I'm planning on doing that. And I would like to go see that. And I'm also going to go see the Mammoth show coming here too.
Oh, cool.
With Nita Strauss opening up, I think. So I'm going to check that out.
Well.
And Dave, I busted your balls about Power Solution for Modelers a couple weeks ago on Facebook. What are you cooking up?
No, I'm not going to say yet. I got something that could be cool, but it's a simple solution and it's not a stereo amp. So, but it's portable. So that's as much as I'm going to give you.
Okay. Anton, not
super high powered either, but it'll be loud.
Anton Bohudiak, if I said that right. Thank you. Hi, asking your opinion regarding the Bogner Fish preamp, because I have an opportunity to get an EU version, maybe using an IRX for power amp simulation and IRs. Thank you in advance and happy new year.
I mean, Bogner Fish was a cool preamp, you know, in its time. It has a bunch of, you know, the Bogner sounds in it, of the thing. It has a sound. It's a good thing. And yes, you could use the back end of the IRX. You probably, if the Fish has... Sometimes they had them and sometimes they didn't. It's a little, I can't remember if they had an output volume level control on the back. Or maybe at different times they had them. You might need to run, because of the way the loop is on the IRX, it's a little lower level. So you might need to run the preamp set a little lower. So, you know, it's more of the appropriate level instead of a blaring line level into the return of the IRX. But it'll work for sure.
Mm-hmm. My a good friend of mine, his brother has a Bogner Fish.
Oh yeah,
I put dibs on it. I said, if he ever decides to sell that, you let me know. I want it. Scott Brockway, any word on Scott Ian coming on?
I'll hit him up again.
Yeah, we could also talk to
Believe me, sometimes we send these emails and then it's like crickets.
Yeah.
Or then they go, yeah, sure. And then it's crickets.
Oh, I Mike Tempesta had mentioned that one day he might be able to help us out also.
Yeah. I mean, I do work for Scott. I'm it's not.
Oh, okay.
I have his phone number. I have his phone in my phone.
Okay.
Also got to do Jim Root too.
Yes. We have Joel Hervey. If Joel, if you're watching, he's literally on every show, he comments on every show. When will Jim Root be on? I'm still waiting for
Jim also agreed to do it, but crickets.
Yeah, crickets. Exactly. We did reach out. What's your thoughts on cruise amps? I don't know anything about them.
I would rather just not say.
Boom. There you go. Okay. Let's see. I'm not always acting the chat, but I'm always around. That's right, Ben. Thanks, man. You know what interview that, because this just reminded me, anybody watch the Ross Hogarth interview?
I started watching it and then turned it off.
Just because you didn't like it, or?
I know Ross.
Oh, okay.
I know Ross, and I mean, I don't know what he was going to, after I listened for a little bit and then I turned it off and I was just like, why am I listening to him with no guitar sound that was any good anyway when he worked with him? I don't, I don't think, that last album was the greatest sounding thing in the world.
No. Okay. Interesting. It threw me for a loop there. The question that I was thinking about, did you see the interview with Andy Summers with Rick Beato?
I didn't see that yet. I did start watching the Steve Morse one though.
Oh, so yeah, that's next on my list.
Yeah. I didn't watch the Andy Summers one.
It's good.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. The Steve Morse one's fun too. I mean, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Rick's killing it with interviews.
Yeah. It's too bad Steve is so plagued with arthritis.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he has real problems with his right hand and arthritis. He can't move he has to play differently now. Fuck. He explains in the interview. He talks about it.
Oh, all right. I'll watch it. That sucks. Getting old, man. Mario, happy to help. Tone Talk is my favorite show. Oh, you're the man. Thank you.
There's something wrong with you.
HDM 1990.
Maybe that's why I like you.
Dave, what settings would you say work best on the BE-100 Deluxe to get that Dio Vivian Campbell Holy Diver album tone?
Oh, man. I mean, there's so many things involved in getting a tone off a record. The BE channel, set. I think it was like an 800 hit with a super overdrive or pedal or a OD1 pedal or something with what pickups he had at the time. I think kind of a hot pickup, if I recall.
And am I wrong in saying it's a bit scooped a little bit?
It's really kind of actually thin. It's not necessarily scooped. It's actually, if you listen to it, it's sort of mid-rangey. But kind of like lacking bass, which leads me to believe for sure it was maybe an OD1 or SD1 or something. OD1 really clips off a lot of bass, makes it nice and tight. Great pedal, those old ones.
I gotta get one of those.
Yeah, I have one old one here, and it's awesome. It's just everything tightens up everything. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. You're going to have to just kind of like put it on the channel and start tweaking the EQs till it kind of matches up. Or maybe even, to be honest, maybe the coloration of that OD1 or SD1. I'm not sure which he used. So, and I could be totally wrong with that pedal entirely. I don't really know what the recording setup was for him at that time. I know on the road he used JCM-800s with, I'm assuming, a pedal hitting it. So, if that's the case, you'd probably want it on the C45 setting, and you'd probably want it in the lowest gain mode and then hit it with the pedal to simulate that kind of thing.
Okay.
Just kind of a quick thing. That'd be the closest to an 800 sound, and you probably don't want any thump on it. Probably want to turn it off.
Yeah, and definitely listen to the album and your tone and try to go back and forth.
Yeah.
Anza Johnstone. Hey, Dave and Mark, no question. Just wanted to say I love my small box and twin sister heads. They sound unbelievable with my tellies in my band.
Awesome, man.
See? Tellies with small box, twin sister, you know, it's all versatile. You don't have to use humbuckers, you know, can do it all.
Oh, man, especially the twin sister and a telly is especially good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thrash Pit 66. I see your thing there, but I got to scroll to find your question, maybe. Maybe. I don't see it. Sorry. Do you see it?
Oh, here's a good one for a guest. Henrik Hermansson. Amp Modder. From some Nordic country. Sweden, maybe?
Who's the name?
Henrik Hermansson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he'd be cool. For sure.
He's on YouTube?
Yeah, he's a big amp modder that does amazing work, and I forgot what country he's in. I think maybe Sweden or some sort of Denmark, Sweden, somewhere, Norway, somewhere like that. I think could be wrong.
Vinny, what's up, Vinny? He's gonna split. I didn't even see he was in there. Can't hear shit, he said. Just wanted to jump on and say hi. Dave, thanks for your help with that question about cables and the lifted grounds.
Yeah, no problem, Vinny. Awesome.
So this reminds me, we just made a donation. I said it last time, but we officially made the donation. Let me find the little graphic from Vinny so I can share everybody. So you guys can see. Thank you for donating $2,500. I can't read what it says. The Sweet Relief Musicians Fund. So $2,515.85 we donated to the Sweet Relief Musicians Fund, Cancer Fund, and
from our cable sales.
From the cable sales that we did. And we feel really great about that.
Yeah, man, that's awesome.
Able to help out musicians in need.
Probably going to do another batch eventually.
Yeah, we'll wait till the beginning of the year and figure out. I know Vinny has to order the cable, and
Vinny's got to get his fingers working again after making all those cables.
Yeah, he's got to take a little break. But we'll do another run, and but we're really happy to have been able to donate. You know, and Vinny had a pretty cool idea. Maybe one day we can, for just a quick, you know, 15-minute little session on a show, we can invite somebody from the Sweet Relief Fund, a charity fund, and they can come on and talk about it.
Yeah, sure.
And I think that would be nice. So I thought that was a really great idea, Vinny. So thank you. All right. Next set of questions here. Landon Jordan, greetings and happy new year from Atlanta. Thanks all for the info.
All right.
No problem. Alex Kitchen, hey guys, what would you recommend for a budget-friendly power amp to do a wet-dry wet rig?
Honestly, the Avatone, which model is it, Mark? Avatone, the single rack space one.
Is it a CLA something?
CLA.
I forget. Let me look it up. Avatone power. Why isn't it coming up?
CLA 100.
Yes.
It's awesome. It sounds really good. It's a class AB amp, so it's got lots of punch. And works particularly well for that application. Do it.
Yep. That's good. I mean, and it's new, so you don't have to buy something used, you know. It does have some weird, like, the connectors in the back. So make sure you check the connectors in the back for you that you need to have.
It's not really a big deal. It's just you need it's XLR inputs, and then it has a banana plug outputs. Pretty common in solid state power amps and stuff.
Okay. Don't tread on me. Thanks for the advice on the Classic 50 and for all your time y'all put into the show.
Thanks, man.
No problem. Jerry, what did Steve have you change for the SS100 V2 from V1? V1 is one of my all-time favorite amps. Thanks.
Well, you have a variable thump control instead of a fixed thump control in the amp. And really the only other thing is the voltage divider is a little bit different between, the first two gain stages. So it's a smidge more aggressive, and percussive. I mean, it's like three parts.
Hmm.
Not like night and day.
Okay. Spartan Pride, thanks for confirming this. Mark is dead on. It will skew the test big time. Can't drink within a week of an annual physical type blood test or anything like barbecue, birthday cake. It will skew those tests. It sure did. What's the slowest? What's the slowest a boat can go? Pull a skier. You're at the wrong show, bro. I don't know.
Try to ask something that we can't answer.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That seems like a math question. Jerry, we already did that one.
Here, I'll answer a little bit. It probably depends on the weight of the skier. Right?
That's true. That's funny. Izzy is born, proudly acquired a JJ Jr. head and cab this year and waiting for an incoming RX. Cannot wait.
Awesome, man.
Fantastic. Okay. DMAC. Hey guys, I've been wanting to try out the little sister, but I had a chance to try out a gel 20 and the other day and it was fantastic. How do the lower gain channels compare between the two amps? It's different.
I mean, so the lower gain, not talking channel one of the JEL, channel one is the plexi channel. You won't have that with the little sister. The little sister's gain channel has some similarities to the JEL. In the lower gain mode, you would have to put the gain structure in the center on it, and it might be sort of similar. Still, the JEL is a little more aggressive, and the other one's still a little more vintage sounding.
Okay. Any issues with me completely ignoring the standby switch and only using the power switch to turn the amp on and off?
No problem at all.
You're good to go. Dan Anthony, what Freeman amp gets me the closest to a plexi and an 801 amp? The gel.
Yeah.
Get the gel 20 or a
for
gel?
Sure. One? I mean, literally, it's that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in the lower gain mode, it's an 800, and in the higher gain mode, it's sort of like a modded 800 on that dirty channel.
Gerard, when you develop an amp, what output pickup or particular model do you use when you test the amp?
I never, ever develop an amp with a high gain pickup. The pickups I use are like mostly the One guitar is a Motor City second degree black belt, which is, you know, like a
8.5K.
Yeah, 8.5K ish. And it's, you know, pretty punchy and attacky. And then the other guitar mostly is the creme brulee now.
Same.
But I have some other guitars too. I got a, you know, another Friedman guitar with a VH2 in it from Bare Knuckles, which sounds cool. Occasionally I'll plug in the Friedman guitar, which is on the weaker side also. Once in a great while, I'll try like a higher gain pickup into something, but generally I don't. I don't voice it around that.
Mm.
I voice it more of around a PAF-y kind of pickup.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Super good.
Yeah. Poo Ninja, Dave, how do you feel about toroidal transformers?
In an amp? I mean, they serve a purpose in the field hum of them. In an amp, I mean, the old Igniter TOL 100 amps had them. They worked fine. They worked well. Some Laney amps have them. It's not generally used for amps that much. It's used for other purposes.
Hmm. Is it based on how they sound or?
No. It's not for the output transformer. It's the power transformer.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Pooh. Gustavo Barrancos. Greetings. Developed a high-watt DR504 itch lately. Are there options available without spending a whopping money for an original one? I saw someone is running a high-watt brand, but don't know how close to original specs they are.
Yeah, high-watt exists today. Although, I think I would just pony up for the original if you really want it. But an old one, you know? If you're going to do it, I think you should do that. Maybe the new ones are cool. I don't really know.
Wasn't there another brand that came out that was a competitor to Hi-Watt that had the same watt?
Yeah. I forgot what that is. Too. The Hi-Watt brand now is same company that bought Park, I think.
Mm.
Or maybe not. Yeah, maybe. And then they also WEM they own. I don't know. I really just don't know. I'm not sure. I would get the old one, to be honest. I mean, just.
Mm. Okay.
I mean, a reissue one is probably expensive anyway, so why not get the old one?
Okay. Tone Boner, seeing that we love tube amps for tone in the air they move, Kemper and Fractal could be considered air purifiers. Yep.
Yeah. Air stinkifiers. Actually, they don't do anything with the air.
Barely. And the thing is, you don't want to turn them up too loud because they don't sound as good as they do when they're low.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Once you start turning, like I can have a profile in my like practice, you know, like just sitting there by the TV and just playing. And if I later just like no one's home and I decide I want to crank it up, it just becomes this like stiff sounding. It just doesn't sound the same. It just. When you turn up these profiles, and then you have to start messing with it, and I'm like, I don't have the time for that shit.
So, mm-hmm.
At least that's me. So, the Blund, 1971. My JJ Jr. got knocked off my 4x12 and hit the floor. Still works, sounds fine, but should I open it up and inspect the guts?
I mean, you could open the back up and make sure the tubes aren't half knocked out of the sockets. But if it's working, it's probably fine.
Shows how tough they are. They take a licking and keep on ticking.
And you should see what we do to amps when we were testing things on the bench and stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, like literally picking up one end and slamming it as hard as you can on the bench. You know,
and that's to make sure.
On a hard bench, like. To make sure everything's, you know, there's no loose connections or anything, you know, like multiple times, not just once.
Wow.
Like, you know, like you're. Yeah, I should do a video of it one day.
You should. And have, after doing it, have you found that some amps like, oh, well, this one got fucked up.
Well, if it stops working while you're doing it, somebody's wrong.
Right. Has that happened?
Yeah, sure.
Oh.
Then you got to find what happened. Or sometimes the preamp tube just fails or something.
Hmm. Interesting. Bobby Devil, what's going on? Dave, will the Freedman Fortis be available in the next year? Trying to set aside money.
I do believe it will be.
Thanks for hooking up Pink Tolex for my BE100 Deluxe. It rules.
Cool, man. A
Freedman Fortis. Did I forget about that?
It's the Micmars Jose.
Oh. Oh.
We're going to be finally dealing with that.
Oh, my God. Another amp I need. Jesus Christ. See, it's funny. I was having this conversation with my cousins this morning because I saw someone was saying, like,
this show's bad for your financials.
Yeah, so it's just like the amount of gear that I have has just grown exponentially over the years. And I said, well, I have a show, so it's a good excuse.
Yeah. Know?
So, but yeah, so it's gotten a little crazy. But yes, I think I need that amp too. Fuck. All right. The lawnmower tapes. Freedman 50-watt plexi with an illuminated transparent face. May you both continue to prosper in 2024.
I don't think that's going to happen. In fact, I know that's not going to happen.
Illuminated transparent face. What is that?
I saw something else
here. Illuminated. I mean, it could be like an illuminated light of your name.
No, I think he just means a transparent face that is like backlit.
Oh, I see. Okay. I gotcha. Not going to happen. Sorry. Okay. I got that one too. Let's see. How much more extra would it be to order a gel 20 and purple Tolex?
$100.
Okay. That's not bad. Sounds like a good deal. Let me keep going here.
Someone had a comment on the Freedman 412 with the mix of V30s and greenbacks. And of course I can't find it right now.
Is this it? The one that I'm put up here or no?
No, it was before that. I think he was kind of responding to that. And you know, they were saying how the vintage 30s overpower the greenbacks. There's a reason the vintage 30s are at your feet and the greenbacks are up top. So if those speakers are louder, which they are a little bit, you will, it won't be right in your ear. It won't be disjointed sounding because at your feet, you can't really hear them anyway. Hmm. I mean, you hear them, but not directly, you know, it's worked really well. People have loved those combination for years. So, not going to stop. Seems to work well.
Okay. Rusty Shackleford, 2x12 with a V30 and G12M can handle 50 watts. Can this handle any 50 watt amp or should there be some headroom? I play a 5153 and we'll be buying a Dirty Shirley.
I mean, it just depends on how loud you're playing your said 50 watt amp. I mean, the Dirty Shirley, you know, it can go over that. If you're playing it really loud, it can go over that power rating. But it's pretty tough. I think it should be okay. It should be fine. Mm-hmm.
Phil Dean, thank you. Dave, can my BE50 Deluxe be modded to have a Buxom Betty, a Plexi, and BE channel with no HBE? All the best for 2024, guys. Great shows. Thanks.
Yes, it could be. I'm just thinking how I'd do it exactly, but yes, it could be.
Hmm. That's an interesting choice because
I think about that a little bit, but yeah, I'm sure I can do it.
I never use the HB, So that's kind of cool to think about.
Yeah, I don't either.
Sonic Blue, Dave, can you share your amp voicing process? Know the one cab guitars, pickups, IRX parts purchase in years into the return of my 40 watt Dirty Shirley is magic.
Your cool, amp, man. Great.
What's your amp voicing process?
I mostly use one cabinet. It's my old bare wood cabinet that has Greenback reissues from the 90s in it. I mostly use that and mostly use road worn Strat guitars that I have two of, one with a Motor City second degree black belt and one with a creme brulee in the bridge, and some single coils. And one of the guitars has two single coils. Also, the other guitar has a single coil. The two single coil and humbucker one has two Motor City single coils in it. I can't think of the name of them right now, but and then the other guitar has a hum canceling single coil in the neck. That's a Fralin. And occasionally I'll pick up another guitar and try it through it, something with a hotter pickup maybe sometimes. Generally don't listen to it through a vintage 30 cabinet. I have one here I can listen to it through, but generally don't listen to it through a vintage 30 cab or any other cabs, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
Yeah. I know what that sounds like, and I know what I'm getting there. And then I'll do a lot of times when voicing amps, we'll do sort of reference things. So like we might have an amp switcher with my Plexi, or you know, you got to have some point of reference sometimes. So whatever you're kind of going for, you might have a point of reference to, so you can like, oh yeah, okay, cool. I'm in the ballpark here.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Amp switchers are used a lot.
That's good. Good knowledge. Enrico Ruotolo, any power amp you'd recommend for making IRs? I've been using effects return of my amps, but the color is definitely there. Also tried a QSC amp, but it was very cold sounding.
You might want to try that same amp, the CLA 100.
Aventone.
Or they make two other higher powered ones also, depending. You might want to try those. Those are very, very good sounding amps. So.
Okay. Cool. DC, Dave, not much hype, if any, regarding the V3 small box. Are these just big sellers and don't need the marketing? Maybe talk about the differences.
I mean, it's the same amp. I mean, you know, everyone comes up with all these models and stuff and V3 small box and this. And I never pay any attention to any, like, people tell me I've had so many versions of the V100. And I'm like, okay, I guess. I mean, it's got a thump knob on it instead of a fixed thump. It's the PC board was laid out a little differently. It's really the same circuit I've been using forever, so it's not really that much different.
So it's really just some upgraded features, but the same circuit.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Gabriel R. I'm loving the IRX. What is the clean channel based out of? It's my go-to. Might consider upgrading to a full amp in the future.
That's the Plexi channel. So that's like in our small box or in our B100 Deluxe. So it's just it's the Plexi channel. That's what it is.
All right, sounds great. Super Chicks, love my Tone Talk cables. Sound killer. Awesome. All the best for 2024, Mark and Dave. Rock.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from other people who got the cables and tell us what you think. I think they're awesome, personally. So, Sinosure Anthem. I think a great pair for recording would be the UA Ox Stomp and Freeman IRX. and Boss EVH SD3000. Boss in the Loop. How about David Lee Roth as a guest?
Yeah, I mean, that IRX into the UA aux stomp would be cool. That's already got delays and reverbs in it that sound great, so you might not need the SD3000. But you could actually come out of the IRX, turn the IRs off, go in. Don't turn the IRs off. Turn the IRs off. Use the balanced out with a normal cable into the SDE3000 and then that stereo into the aux stomp. And then you have stereo, you know, cabinet emulated with whatever the hell you want on. It would sound killer.
Mm. Sure. And as far as David Lee Roth as a guest,
It's not really in our wheelhouse as the singer, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and quite frankly, I would have preferred it in 1984. So, I love Dave, love Diamond Dave, nothing against Dave. He kind of drives me nuts lately. All his shtick, just like enough. Thrash Pit 66. What were you going to say?
I wasn't going to say anything.
Oh, I thought you said something.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought you were like,
No.
Purchased a used SLO 100 2020. Has very low gain. Has JJ preamp Sovtek power. Tried different adjustments. Check tubes. My B100 is 60% more gain. Internal issues. Well, it sounds like it because it should have a lot more gain. What to do? I get it checked.
Yeah, I'd get it checked. I mean, it should have plenty. And you're on the lead channel, obviously. Could be a preamp tube. Could be just a half dead preamp tube in one of the slots.
Yeah, so, maybe replace the tubes.
Yeah, that might be the place to start.
Yeah, because my SLO has more gain. Well, and I don't go into the HBE, but
yeah,
it's got a lot more gain on tap. Let's see.
Most of it useless.
Yes. Yeah. Agreed. Leon Barron, Dave, is there any amp buyable today that's not $10,000 that can do what a train wreck Liverpool did?
Oh man, I mean, there are several people out there that make some clones. But including Seriatone, is it going to be like exactly like the thing? Probably not.
Dr. Z makes a.
I don't know if it's the same though. But
yeah, I don't know if he makes a train wreck.
I don't know if he. Makes
I don't know if he makes a Liverpool. That's the thing. I don't know if he makes a.
Yeah.
Liverpool.
So. I know Carl Popick in Las Vegas has made some train wrecks, here and there, custom for people. I don't know if he's still doing that or not.
Well, ever since I heard that Pete Thorne video with that,
that amp sounded incredible.
That was like one of the, that's probably one of the best sounding amps I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Let's see. What are your thoughts on the EVH EL34 50 watt head? My thoughts are I bought it, I hated it, and I sold it. I ended up getting the Stealth instead, the 50 watt Stealth. I didn't like the blue channel at all. I know that there's a mod people say that you can do on the blue channel.
What's the real difference between the two?
They did something. Ed, for some reason, didn't like, did he changed the tone of the blue channel on that head. And
I think all of them have too much gain.
Yes, but there was something about the blue channel on that 50 watt head I just couldn't stand. I didn't like
it. I haven't had a lot of experience with the 50 watt one. I have played with the 100-watt EL34 one, which sounded pretty good to me.
I hear the 100-watt is much better than the 50-watt. For whatever reason, I don't know. There's like a mod that people do. It's like well known on the forum that people do. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't my favorite, but I know some people love it and they get some great tones out of it. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, they're good amps.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just wasn't for me personally. I love the Stealth though. I will not get rid of that amp.
Scott Nickerson says, question for Dave. Playing my Run 50, sound just faded away. Did the power light go out? That's the question. Could be several things. If the power light's still on, probably not power tube related. It could be a preamp tube died. Both channels do it is the other question I would have. And try plugging your guitar into your effects loop return and see if you get sound there. And that might tell me something. Could be an HT fuse, maybe blue, the round fuse holder, if the power light's still on, which would indicate a bad power tube. So all of those things are possible.
I hope you get it sorted. Dave, any chance of a Gel 20 combo? I'm pretty heavily invested in combos.
Never wanted to do that with that amp. I think it sounds better with the 112 cab.
Mark Tremonti would be a great guest.
I know Mark. I could probably get Mark.
I'd love to get him on.
Yeah. That's put that on the list.
Put him on the list. Let me add it to the list here. Mark Tremonti. And I'm also a fan of his singing. Have you heard him doing the Frank Sinatra stuff?
No.
Dude, you have to.
Let's Tremonti?
Yes. Mark Tremonti has an album singing Frank Sinatra.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. And it is fantastic.
Really?
Like, amazing.
Huh.
And he actually has, like, the Frank Sinatra orchestra with him. Like, the guys that are still alive.
That I would never expect to hear out of your mouth.
Yeah, and it's...
I mean, not that it's not good. He did it at all. That was interesting.
It's very... It's impressive.
Now I got to look that up.
Yeah, it's really impressive. I have to say, I even downloaded the album, "Fly Me to the Moon," all that stuff. It's great. He's very talented. So great suggestion. Let's see, we got some more super chats here. Thoughts on Comet amps? Plus, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all you and your viewers. Thanks, Robert Bogdan.
Comet amps are cool. They're very, very well made. They're in the kind of the classic train wreck sort of vein of amps. And it's a cool company. Cool logo. They do cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doesn't Pete have a common amp?
He's had several. I think he has two.
Yeah.
He used to use them on tour with Chris Cornell.
Mm-hmm.
Along with like four other amps.
Chris, thanks for the super chat. Are there any tonal differences between the PhilX and the BE channel of the BE100 Deluxe?
Technically, it's the same channel. And might be one part different. But technically, it's just a stripped-down BE channel without all the switching and everything else.
This is a cool question because I actually like this. Would you ever consider adding external bias test points and adjustable pots to your amps? General production model, not a mod. Especially external bias points.
Yeah, I could. Always been reluctant to do that when people just fucking it up. But maybe... Maybe I've resisted doing it because I just don't think you need.
mean, it's just another thing that people will fuck up.
Something else. Yeah. Let's turn this knob and see what happens. What's this knob do? Click. And then it's all, you know, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. I'm not saying I'll never do it, but what I might consider it.
There was an amp that I worked on. Maybe it was the Stealth. Yeah, I think it was Stealth. It has the external bias points, and then the adjustable trim pot is covered by a by a metal thing that has a screw.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and they actually, I think they actually tell you this should only be used by technicians.
Yes.
So,
it's a cool thing to do. That's, you know, avoid having to take it out of the chassis. That's a good question.
Yeah.
All right. How are we doing on time, Dave? What's your day looking like? You all right? You got a few more minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. Corey James, my Tone Talk cable is fantastic. Vinny's DeMartini cable is also killer. Thanks, Vincent. Yeah, guys, make sure you check out Vinny, his cables, Signum cables. He makes really great cables. Handmade, one by one. And he's, you know, he'll take care of you. So, let's see what else we got here.
I'm trying to catch up too.
Yeah, I think I've got all the super chats. I think. Oh, wait, there's another one that just came in. Soothsayer Audio, thank you. Had five Friedmans, BE Deluxe, BE 100. Twin sister, little sister, small box 50, and the twin sister was my favorite. Just want a bit more percussive attack. Will the new vintage line amp give that?
Well, I mean, it's just like a old vintage Plexi, so
definitely more, definitely percussive.
Maybe, yes, sure.
Yeah, your twin sister was your favorite.
But it's a kind of a different amp.
Too. It is different, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. When I'm voicing an amp, my most important consideration is having practice at least 6 hours a day for at least 3 to 4 weeks straight. Okay. All right. I'm trying to look for questions here. Excellent.
Barry Provost said, Dave, could you please explain the SAT switch on the twin sister versus the original high-low inputs? There isn't a SAT switch on the twin sister at all. There is a gain structure switch, which was on later Dirty Shirley's too. The only difference is the high-low input is you're patting down your guitar into the amp. And the with the gain structure switch, you're changing the cathode resistor on the second stage that lowers the gain of the amp. Is it that much different? I mean, it's a little different, but I mean, like, you can get, you if you roll down your guitar volume, you can get what the low volume, the low input gets, you know. So you can do everything you can do with the twin sister that you could have done with the Dirty Shirley. Okay.
People, if you're watching the show, you need to hit the like button. Come on.
422 watching and only 30 likes. Look at that. How hard is it? I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't get it. Maybe if they're not subscribed, I don't know what the deal is.
Well, but then subscribe.
Subscribe.
Please, come on.
Because you know what? Dave and I had considered, we had considered making our chat only subscribers. And it's still a possibility.
Yeah.
To say, if you want to participate in the chat, then you have to be a subscriber. I don't know. We've gone back and forth on the pros and cons of it.
Yeah.
So, but if we end up doing that, you guys will all be sorry that you're not subscribed. So subscribe. Okay. Let's see. Peter, Signum is making me cables with ground lifts to resolve ground hum from noise gate in four cable method. Can Dave review how to use these properly? Still a little confused. Dave has been helpful troubleshooting.
Yeah, so it's simple. Okay, let's say, and I already told Vinny this whole thing. So let's say, okay, first off, let's start with an amplifier and just this pedal. That's it. Okay. So the noise, whichever pedal this is, Decimator, or if it's the new Boss one or whatever, they all kind of work the same way. So you have a guitar goes into the pedal, then there's a signal that comes out of the pedal that goes to the front of the amplifier. And then there's the post part. So the loop of the amplifier also comes to the pedal, right? So what the input is doing is that's the key input that's telling the gate. Like if you roll down your volume knob, it's reading the guitar volume knob, not the amplifier. So that's what's going on. So the problem is with all these pedals, and I don't understand why companies don't do this, any pedal that's pre and post like that, that's one pedal that's pre and post, causes a ground loop. Every single pedal, helixes, everything. Nothing is made that fixes the problem. Never quite understand this. So you can fix this problem generally two ways. One way is you can insert an isolation transformer between the right before the front of the amp, which breaks the ground loop that's created there, so it's only tied to the loop cables. That's one way. The other way is you can use some ground lifted cables. Now, how you do that is guitar into the pedal, whatever it's called on the pedal, the send to the front end of the amp, straight to the amp, normal cables, everything's good. The loop cables are where you use the ground lifted cables. So the send of the loop of the amp, you use the grounded side of the cable on the send. And then when it gets to the pedal, that's the lifted side. And on its way back to the return of the amplifier, you use the grounded side at the pedal end and the lifted side at the amp end. So again, there's only one path, ground path, and that's the input cable. Don't use a ground lifted cable on the input because you'll see what happens. Then it goes at you. But generally that'll fix it. If that doesn't fix it, the ISO transformer might be a better solution. So
it's amazing that these boxes don't come with some solution, since they're the ones who are recommending four cable method. And then it has a ground loop home.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I mean, I felt the same way when I got the Helix Effects, and I was like, oh, this is great. I plug it in, four cables, and I'm like, what the fuck? Where's all this hum coming?
Oh, that's even worse with that. So, I mean, like, so then if you're doing the channel switch on the Helix, if you're doing the channel switching, that's yet another ground loop.
Right.
So, yeah.
Great. Okay. Let's see. All right. We got that super chat. What else we got? Mark missed my comment. I'm sorry, man. To help others, I solved my ground loop problem with the JP2C and an FX8 with a combo of a humbuster cable and a radial small SB6 ISO box.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. By the way, Pete's going to be live in about 10 minutes.
Oh, Pete's live today?
Yeah. He's doing his... 300th is live today. His 300th live show. So we should end right before that. Let's see. Dave, can you tell us about your role with Buddha Superdrive series and what you guys were trying to get out of them sound wise?
I just did a front end design for their standard amp at the time. And I don't know. I just did a design that sounded cool. It was kind of similar to the Naked circuit that I use.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tom and Lisa, excellent show today. Mark and Dave, can't speak. Does the Plexi channel on the gel and new vintage series differ in spec or tonality?
It's a totally different. It's well, technically it's similar, but the JEL is sort of a, it's a Plexi channel, but you would have to turn the master on 10, but it's a pre power amp master. It's kind of a different thing. It's not, it's only going to get you at lower volumes. It's only going to get you AC/DC sort of levels of gain, you know, max, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thoughts on, no, hang on. Dave, did you work on Darren Malakian's Marshalls from System of a Down? And does he currently use your Friedman amps? From
Darren currently uses Friedman amps. Darren has one that used to belong to me, a B100, an older one. And then he also bought two different ones for the road. And then recently had bought two deluxes for the road. So, and I think he might have a twin sister. So, and yes, I did work on his Marshalls and modded those that he used to use. Been working on with him for a long time.
Awesome. I told you about this earlier in the year, Dave. Porky Lowen, Dave, I understand you don't watch football, but the Detroit Lions won the divisional championship for the first time in 30 years. Congratulations to you and all of Detroit.
That's unbelievable.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it.
Yeah, you haven't even heard
of it? I knew that they were doing well, but I didn't know. I didn't know.
Yeah, man, they won the division. They're going to the playoffs. I mean, it's pretty amazing for Detroit.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wild. Peter Henderson tried an ISO transformer between the gate and the amp input, but it picks up noise on its own and super finicky where I place it. Gonna try cables. Thanks, Dave.
What ISO transformer did you use? If it's not a shielded ISO transformer, then that could cause issues depending on where you place it. If you put it anywhere near a transformer or anything like that, it'll hum. If you use, like, say, a Palmer ISO transformer, it would be pretty good. But the cable should work.
Mr. Owl, the vintage series will be available next year. In
2020. Yeah, next year. We're showing them at NAMM. Showing it at NAMM. The Plexi. And something else.
Oh. And something else.
Mm-hmm.
What's the secret of the Dave Black of Seduce Sound during their bar days?
Oh man, that's an interesting tale. So there used to be a guy in Detroit that Fast Eddie, I think was his name or something, or was known as that used to sort of do these mods on Marshalls and stuff. So essentially what it was, so he had a Plexi Marshall that had a passive insert loop, so right off the treble wiper out and back in again into the power amp, completely passive, and then a post phase master volume. An early kind of archaic one, but a post-phase master volume, like the earliest examples of them. And then he would insert a DBX 118 in that passive insert loop. And that signal was so hot, smashing into that DBX 118 compressor, it would distort and it would have a certain like blown up tone to it. And that's it. That's the secret. And wow. And Dave's hands.
Right.
It was a great sound. It was really cool.
What does he use these days? Does he use a Friedman?
He still has one of his Plexis that is like that, and he has some Friedmans.
Yeah.
He uses both, depending on what he feels like. Yeah, he still uses the DBX, even with the Friedmans.
Okay, cool. So Mr. Black never came back and told us what was the secret of the uncovered.
Yeah, I guess not.
Yeah, he just wanted to throw that out there and then leave us hanging. Oh, well. Let's see. Is there another one? Great show as always. What's the myth about the sound change with using 220 or 110 volt? I live in Switzerland with 220. Thanks and happy 24.
I don't know. I think it has more to do with the hertz than the voltage. I've never really experienced that or really noticed with an amp I knew so well that I knew what I was listening to, you know? It's like if I took my cabinet and my amp and then listened to it in the UK versus here or something, maybe I'd know, but I don't really know.
Yeah.
UK or Switzerland or wherever. Yeah. But here's the thing.
What's that?
The 240 or 220.
Oh, really?
The 50 hertz thing. Yeah, here it sounds different, but I'm not. I don't know.
On the road, doing some shows in Carolinas and listening to one of my favorite podcasts in the van. Couldn't ask for anything more.
Perfect, man.
Thanks, great. Chuck. John. I assume you're listening to us. That's what I assume. Okay, guys, no more super chats because Pete's going to be going live and don't want to overlap with him. Roger Dat, Dave, staying on the Detroit theme, were the 70s Halloween nights actually mass pyromania like in the movies?
Maybe not. Maybe some stuff happened, you know, but not really that much.
I'm sure there was a bit madness going on when you were a kid.
Yep.
I know it was when I was living in Brooklyn.
Yeah, Stephen Douglas, I don't know much about the Pyle Pro Box, the ISO transformer. Now I want to look it up. Pyle Pro Box. Pyle Pro. Pyle Pro isolation. Let's see. Pyle Pro. I don't know. I'm still looking for the exact thing that we're.
Okay. Well, while you're doing that, I'll say yes. Two favorite teams have a big game coming up: Miami and the Ravens.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but
you don't know any about the Pyle.
Yeah, Pro? So the Pyle Pro. Yeah, I'd have to look at it more. You know. So
okay. Well, I can't. I hope Miami takes over the Ravens. Sorry if there's any Baltimore fans, man. But
go Detroit.
Yeah, go Detroit. Exactly. I hope that they don't compete with the Dolphins, so unless they go to the Super Bowl. So,
yeah.
Yes, and Nuno Bettencourt would be a great guest. Agreed.
Yep.
Okay. Well, guys, Pete's coming up. Go check out his show. Make sure I covered all super chats.
Yep. Go visit Pete on his show.
Yes. And all right, guys. So we have, you know, guests coming up in the beginning of the year. Make sure you hit subscribe. Thank you all. Hope you have a happy new year. We really appreciate all of you for watching the show. And
we'll see you next year.
Dave and I are getting together in a few days, actually.
Yeah.
They're coming to Miami. We're going to get some stone crabs.
There we go. Awesome.
I can't wait.
Yeah, so, it should be good. I haven't had them in years.
Oh, you're going to love it. Awesome. Yep.
Up, look, and Ben Coombs put a link up to Pete's show. So there you have it.
All right, guys, go check out Pete. Have a happy new year. Enjoy. Right. Be safe.
And we'll see you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.